Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, August 3rd, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr., and joining me is Tim Ma-fucking Geddes.
You know, Bless, maybe it's just because we host Mondays together, but I feel like it's a roll of the dice. Every other week, we get like the biggest day of the week. It's, and this week, ladies and gentlemen, is one of those weeks. So many huge stories to talk about in one little Games Daily. I love it.
Dude, I'm so excited. It was legit one of those ones where over the weekend, legit yesterday, I was like, all right, man, I'm compiling news just to get ready for tomorrow. Oh, wow. Like, we got like quite a few things to talk about. It's going to be a heavy day.
Prepped. Dude, like, we already knew what we were talking about.
Yeah, Halo, I was already like, oh, man, we got a good four or five stories here. It's going to be a great episode tomorrow. Woke up this morning and I was like, oh, shoot, we got some news. We got some more things to talk about. And literally, as we're starting this show, we got a new story number one, which we'll get about in a few. But, Tim, I saw on Twitter, you're tweeting about this Analog Pocket, and I want to ask you about it. What's up with that?
Oh, man. It is the coolest thing of all time. Essentially, Cap, can you please bring up the link? It's Analog, this company that for years now has been making extremely nice, high-quality. It's not emulation. It's like actual hardware that allows you to play older video games, like NES stuff, Genesis, SNES, like that type of thing. Last year, they announced this, the Pocket, which is their Game Boy. It plays Game Boy games, Game Boy Color games, Game Boy Advance games. In addition to, there's adapters that you could play Game Gear and like other portable systems.
This thing looks hot.
Dude.
It looks so hot.
Isn't it fucking beautiful?
That is sexy. Man. It is like a futuristic Game Boy.
So, and it's like the highest quality screen that like these systems have ever had by far. There's different modes you can play where it like plays like it originally looked, or you can make it all fancy smancy. I can't wait. I really want it. They announced it last year. They've had a lot of hardware issues, especially with the COVID situation. Everything's been pushed back even more, and it sucks. But they finally announced that this morning pre-orders were going up for May 2021. So that sucks. Man. That really sucks. But they've been hyping this up, and they've been making it sound like it was going to be real limited. So I was stressing my ass out. Off, not out. And I'm like, my big problem number one was, do I get the black one or do I get the white one? And
you got to go black.
But see, here's the thing. It's a hard choice. Look at this room, Bless. I have an aesthetic that I've been building here.
And
that white is just too clean.
Yeah.
But my problem is,
look at the base, though.
When it comes to, it doesn't come with the base. Obviously, you have to buy that separately.
Yeah, but doesn't look like it has a white base. You know what I'm saying? Oh, shit. Does it go HDMI out via base?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So my thing was, like, when it comes to portable things, like a phone or whatever, I always like the all black because I don't like seeing bezel.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I like it being clean. And that's why with this, I'm like, oh, the white's so clean. But, like, that's a big-ass bezel I'm seeing. And I'm not stoked about all that. But at the end of the day, I was like, fuck it. I gotta go white. I got to do it. Nice. I've been building the aesthetic. And I woke up. I couldn't sleep because the pre-orders were 8 a.m. And I set my alarm for 7:50 just to be safe. I was up at like 6 something, and I'm just like sitting there refreshing. It popped at 8, like it wasn't early, but I did get my hands on one. Very, very excited to say. Unfortunately, it seems like a lot of other people did not, which sucks.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw on Twitter some people were like, oh man, I really wanted one. I think my homie Alex Van Aken tried to get one, and I don't think he was able to. But that's still like super exciting that you're able to get your hands on one, or at least you will have your hands on one.
I will, eventually. Anyway, it's exciting stuff, and if you're excited about this, as you should be, because it's really damn cool, pre-orders, they're good. They're going to put up more later, so just keep your eyes peeled and your ears tuned. But anyways, enough about that, Bless.
Tim Geddes, enough about that, because I could talk to you about that legit the whole episode, because I want to learn more about that, and I want to possibly get one for myself. But we got to get into a big news day, because today we're talking about a new state of play incoming, Halo multiplayer going free-to-play, and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live, right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames. roosterteeth.com, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindafunnygames, or bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post show. Housekeeping, it's once again a big week here at Kinda Funny Games. In addition to the normal programming, on Thursday, we're reacting live to the PlayStation State of Play at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, and I assume that's going to be the regular reaction crew for Kinda Funny Games, so expect me, Greg, Tim and Andy tentatively. I haven't confirmed that, but I'm just assuming. And so that's happening again Thursday, 1 p.m. Pacific time. Then on Friday, we're streaming the Avengers beta at 2 p.m. Pacific time. So tune in for that. Both are happening live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames and later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Mamun Muhammad and Blackjack. Today we're brought to you by Hims, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be a jam-packed Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have 7 stories today.
A Baker's Dozen!
Starting with our number one, breaking as we started the show. And so I'm still formulating, putting things together as I'm going through the story.
Breaking so hard and so fast as we're starting the show that Kevin was about to hit play on attempt one, where we nailed the intro to this show live. Blessing was just like, whoa, what? No.
Yeah, I started having a breakdown. And he's just like,
he thought it was fake. he didn't believe the news was real.
I legit couldn't fathom my eyes because breaking news, Spider-Man is coming to Marvel's Avengers exclusively on PlayStation. And to give you even more context, there are rumors about this over the weekend. There were like leaks going on, like retail leaks and stuff. And this is one of those ones where I had it on the dock as of this morning. Like last night as I was going through, I was like, okay, cool, I'll include that one just in case. And this morning I legit deleted it. This morning I was like, all right, like this is too rumory. Like it's too big of a news day. We won't include this one. And yeah, it's real. I saw this, of course, from PlayStation on Twitter. They tweeted out this morning, your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man comes to Marvel's Avengers exclusively on PlayStation. Crystal Dynamics offers early details on its own unique take on the post-launch hero. And then that links us over here to the PlayStation blog, a blog written by Jeff Adams, the associate art director at Crystal Dynamics, who writes, every once in a while, life presents you with a moment where your pursuits and your passions converge. Today is one such a moment for me because I get to be the first to announce that our own Crystal Dynamics take on Spider-Man is teaming up with Ms. Marvel, Iron Man, Thor, Hulk, and Black Widow of Marvel's Avengers. This is so personal for me because I cannot remember a time when I didn't love Marvel and its colorful characters, each more real and believable than the next. He then starts talking about his love for Avengers, which I'm going to skip through because I want the necessities. I want to know the facts. He continues by saying, to make sure this team up goes smoothly, Vince Napoli, our lead combat designer, is hard at work making Spider-Man just as great on the sticks as he is on the page. This means making sure our heroes move, making sure our hero moves and fights like he should, no matter which one of our war zones he finds himself in. When he's arcing through the air on his web line, he wants you to feel graceful and light and be able to use a variety of web configurations and gadgets to enhance your traversal. Spider-Man's impressive acrobatic abilities will complement the experience, allowing you to seamlessly transition from navigation to combat. He then goes on and then he continues. Despite all the great solo adventures Spider-Man's been on, standing shoulder to shoulder with the likes of Iron Man, Thor, Hulk, Black Widow, and Ms. Marvel is going to add a whole new dimension. Players are going to face the world's most dangerous threats together, using Spider-Man's innate powers, boosted with a little help from his friends. And I'm continuing. I'm like skipping through so much of this because I'm like, all right, what are the
details? Well, they're saying a lot, but they're not saying much at all. Like, that's the thing. It's like, I'm skimming through this whole thing now, and it really, what it comes down to is they're just like, hey, we're excited about this, and we're really trying to get this right. We know that Spider-Man playing well is very important because you've played him very well on a couple years ago's game, Spider-Man, on the PlayStation 4, and you know how Spider-Man should feel. We're going to work on that. Then you get to the sensational sense of style paragraph where they're like, it's not just for him to play like Spider-Man, he should look like Spider-Man. So we're going to make sure that his design is you know, like really defining the character's look over his long history. It's like, no shit. Okay, cool.
Yeah, which, like, I mean, I think, honestly, to me, that reads as code as, hey, we're not going to do the Marvel's Spider-Man PS4 Spider-Man. Like, this is the Spider-Man you know from the comics, essentially, which I think is exciting and is a good way to differentiate this Spider-Man, the Avengers Spider-Man, from the Marvel's PS4 Spider-Man. These paragraphs here, I think, sum up what they're getting at, though. They write, they continue, when Spider-Man comes to our stable of heroes, we'll be marking his debut with an in-game event that will introduce him to the wider world of Marvel's Avengers. The event is comprised of a series of unique challenges for the hero to take on, testing his abilities and yielding some exciting results. And like the rest of our heroes in Marvel's Avengers, we'll offer multiple cosmetic outfits and gameplay experience options so you can make your vision of the wall crawler a reality. It's never been a better time to be a Spider fan. The team at Crystal Dynamics, along with our partners, are overjoyed that we get to take part of this hero's gaming journey. We can't wait for you to add Spider-Man to your Marvel's Avengers roster in early 2021. And as we promised before, he'll be available at no additional cost to owners of the base game exclusively on PlayStation. Thank you for your time, and I hope you enjoy playing Marvel's Avengers when it launches on PS4 September 4th, 2020, and comes to PS5 later this holiday. Tim, I am very excited about all this.
I am too, but I'm also kind of upset about a key element here. Now, here's the thing. Mm-hmm. Takeaway number one, found my new main. That's for sure.
Oh, people are going to be fighting about this. People are going to be fighting to play Spider-Man.
Takeaway number two, no additional cost. We already knew this, but that's major. I think that investing in Avengers as a platform and something that they are going for cross-generation, then hopefully eventually cross-play, is the only way this game can really, truly, fully succeed to its potential. So that's great. Exclusive to PlayStation. This sucks. I can't think of anything good about this. This seems like a business thing through and through. And the only argument I could make for it was if it was Insomniac Spider-Man, because that being exclusive to PlayStation, it's like, okay, that kind of makes sense. This just being a brand new Spider-Man in this Avengers world, that everything we've seen of it so far is kind of a back to basics dulling down of just, hey, here's what these Marvel characters are with looks that are a bit more kind of, generic, honestly. And if you're going to do that to Spider-Man, it's like, why make it exclusive to PlayStation? And I get the business side of it. PlayStation's trying to push this. There's exclusive deals with Crystal and all that. But this is bad for gamers, just period.
I mean, I can see that. I think it definitely is a bummer from the Xbox side of things. Like, I can understand if you're playing Marvel's Avengers on Xbox, or if you're planning to get Marvel's Avengers on Xbox, you see this and you're like, oh, what the fuck, man? Like, that is a big selling point to this game, the fact that I'm going to be able to play Spider-Man in it at some point. Like, Spider-Man is the biggest Marvel hero, right? Like, he's the most popular. He is the number one Marvel hero. And so for the fact that for the Marvel's Avengers game, I can't play Spider-Man in my version, that feels like a huge blow.
Let's take it a step further than that, though. Because, look, so obviously the way I see this and where the industry's been, this seems like it's going to be the PlayStation exclusive stuff because they have marketing partnerships between Crystal and Sony. So if they didn't, this would mean maybe we're going to get an exclusive character on Xbox. So great. Now all of a sudden there's an exclusive Wolverine on Xbox. And it's like, that's not good for what this type of game is. This isn't the days of Soul Calibur 2 where it's like, what console are you going to buy Soul Calibur on? Like, do you want Link? Or that's pretty much the only option. No one else buy the other ones because who gives a fuck about Heihachi? You know what I'm talking about, Bless? Pound it.
I mean, I had the version with Heihachi, but I agree that, like, I would have preferred the other two versions.
Jokes aside about that. That's different, though. That was a fighting game in a pre-online world that, you know, that was a novelty more than anything. And now this game is being presented as a games as a service, as a platform. And to already start separating that platform, especially with things of consequence. This is fucking Spider-Man. This isn't the frog Thor. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I feel you there. I definitely feel you there. I doubt Xbox is going to have their own exclusive character. Like, this, to me, this very much reads as, hey, we're PlayStation. We have, like, that the direct rights with Spider-Man. Like, I don't know what the paperwork actually is, but we have alignment with Spider-Man, right? Because of PlayStation, because of Sony, because all that stuff goes. I'm sure somewhere along the line that comes down on, we have control over how Spider-Man is used in games. And so, that's kind of how I trace it back to Spider-Man being exclusive to Marvel's Avengers in this game. I'm surprised Spider-Man is available.
Ultimate Alliance.
I guess that's a good point. Yeah, I guess Spider-Man is in Ultimate Alliance. But like that's an exclusive Switch game, and like I think the fact that they're treating this as post-launch like DLC, the fact that this is a 2021 thing makes, like, for me reads as like, yeah, this is very much down the line. We don't consider this core game, but it's an exciting thing that's coming to the game later on.
See, I don't think so. Like, here's like my argument against that. Sorry to cut you off, but okay. I think it's important to note that with the way that they've been talking about this game, pretty much since, hold on, Greg Miller's calling real quick. Greg Miller from Kinda Funny.
Hey, Tim, I think you might be driving to my point, but I want to make this point on why, and I'm building a bunch of shows. You guys are doing a great job. Me and Jen have been laughing at you. You're a really good host. The thing that scares me the most about this, because you're right, this is a raw deal. Like, what year is it? Like, I want Spider-Man in the game for everybody, and you want to hope that maybe eventually he will be. The big question, right, is that they've talked about that there, you know, for out at launch. Their whole thing here is that they want Avengers to be cross-generational, right? To have PS4 work with PS5, Xbox with Xbox, and so on and so forth. That's been their answer when they talk about cross-platform play. That, like, we're not focusing on that at launch. We're focusing on that right now. Right now, we're focusing on cross-generation. What happens next year when they say they want to go cross-platform? Does that mean that Spider-Man doesn't work, or Spider-Man is he still siloed? That's so weird. That's such a backwards, old-time thinking like you're talking about.
Totally. It's bullshit. I don't like it at all.
All right, thank you. Back to your show.
Love you guys.
Yeah.
Bye.
Now, that was something I was thinking about too, right? Like the fact that crossplay is becoming more and more ubiquitous in multiplayer games. And you imagine that at a certain point, this game might consider going crossplay, even though they've not talked about it. They've talked about cross-gen.
They fucking better, man.
They they skirted the topic of crossplay though with I believe their last announcement that when they're talking about cross-generation play. Which makes me think that it's something that's not in the cards for them.
Greg and I were talking about this just in our own personal lives, not in front of the camera. And I was like expressing my, you know, just kind of anger towards the fact that we're now in 2020, moving into 2021, and crossplay for a major third-party title that is going to benefit so much from a large player base that gives a fuck is not cross play. And it's like, how can you do that after we've seen the last couple of years kind of have that shift? I mean, I guess it's only been a year, but in the last year, we've seen cross play become such a big topic of conversation. I mean,
it's been the last couple of years because Fortnite came to Switch, which that was like the big boiling point of it. That was 2018 E3. And
okay,
like
so yeah, 2 years.
Right after that, that was like the trailer where we saw the Nintendo Xbox green, red thing. Like it's been progressing for some time.
And then Call of Duty, right? And I feel like that was kind of like breaking the walls down, where I expect going into next gen that to mean something, which is convenience. Next gen is about convenience. They've been telling us this, they've been showing us this, they've been proving it to us. And to see this, it's like the conversation that ended up happening with me and Greg was telling me, he's like, I bet you that like that was the plan, that was the goal, but or they would want that, but that wasn't even in the cards with how PlayStation and Xbox were acting with each other back then when this game was first starting to be developed, that cross-gen is more important to them. So will cross-play come eventually? We'll have to wait. We'll have to see. But to your point, Bless, about, oh, it's just DLC, I don't think that's how they're looking at this game. And I think that's evidenced by the way they've been talking about it in their War Table streams that they've been doing. Like, this game went from being kind of teased back in, you know, 2017, whatever the hell it was, to, oh, it's a real thing when we first saw it at E3 and they showed the bridge demo. Or at least parts of it. And it was like, okay, that was still the question of what type of game is this? Is it single player or like narrative Spider-Man style, or is it a Destiny type? And now it's clear it's Destiny, and we've understood that for at least a year now, right? And then they started these War Table things that are really driving home what this game is. The fact that their second War Table, the one we just did that got us all hyped, focused so much on the future, focused so much on, the game's launching with this, but the content's not stopping anytime soon. And we're going to announce Hawkeye right now. They're looking at their future plan as just as important as their launch plan. And I think that's showing that this game, it's not DLC. It's part of the game. Like, the game doesn't end after a week. They want you to be playing this game for years to come. And that's great. Like, that's super, super exciting if the game's good, which let's hope. But when it comes to Spider-Man, it's like, that's a bridge too far.
Yeah, no, I definitely feel you, and I think you're on the money there. I'm still shocked that that Spider-Man is allowed in the game, right? Especially on the PlayStation side, where they have Marvel's Spider-Man as a game. Like, this is the thing that I think not many people were expecting. Like, we were kind of theorizing, being like, oh yeah, like what if, like that could be a cool thing, but for it to actually happen, I think is pretty wild.
Dude, it is pretty wild. And before we move on, because I hear it in your voice, you want to move to the next story. I also want to say, like, you know, to just dial back the anger about the exclusivity and to just talk about what this is. Very fucking exciting stuff. Spider-Man's awesome. Oh, yeah. Having him in this game really shows that they're not afraid to be like, Yeah, but let's just do what people want. Like, that's cool. Like, getting Spider-Man with the Avengers in this game, it, like, definitely excites me. And I'm probably going to play this game on PlayStation when it does come out, just because of the controller for this case, even though normally I go third-party Xbox. So I'm like, all right, doesn't really affect me too much in the short term. In the long term, we'll see with all the cross-play and all that stuff. But what I'm more interested in is how he plays. And they're obviously concerned as well, talking about this, about how he plays and how he looks. But when we first saw Avengers, one of the biggest criticisms we had, because the first playable character we see is Thor. And when he throws Mjolnir, we all were like, that doesn't look right.
That doesn't look like Kratos.
It doesn't look like Kratos. And every preview that of people that got their hands on it was like, it doesn't feel like Kratos. And it's like, oh, shit. And it's like, then we start dialing our expectations back. We're like, okay, well, it's not God of War. It's a different game. So let's expect something different. But it's like, with Spider-Man,
they have such an uphill battle.
That's a like, one for one, man.
Yes. It is. It's going to be a huge uphill battle for them, which I don't think they have any chance of living all the way up to expectation with it. I don't know how you can make a Spider-Man that feels good, especially with Marvel's Ultimate Alliance. We have it's a different game for all intents and purposes, right? Like it is stylish, it is cartoony, it is Diablo-esque. It's a different perspective. Like we forgive how Spider-Man controls in that game because we have the understanding that that is an entirely different type of game. Yeah. Marvel's Avengers, in terms of how it presents, in terms of what we've seen of how it plays, right? Like, it is a lot more aligned with your traditional third-person action game than Marvel's Ultimate Alliance, which makes me be like, okay, if I'm going to play Spider-Man in this game, let's see how this plays. Let's see how this controls, because I don't know how you do it.
JWright798 in the chat says, there's a reason Thor isn't in the beta. This might be it. I ain't saying you're right, but I ain't saying you're wrong, baby. Let's go.
Let's keep on the PlayStation train. Story number two, a new PlayStation State of Play is incoming. This is from the PS blog written by Sid Schumann. It's been a while, but State of Play returns this Thursday with a focus on third-party published games coming to PS4 and PSVR. We'll have a few PS5 game updates on third-party and indie titles you last saw in June's PS5 showcase. The episode is weighing in at 40-plus minutes. We've got a great lineup. A great lineup in store featuring plenty of new gameplay footage and other game updates. And just to be super clear, there will be no PlayStation Studios updates in Thursday's episode. There won't be any updates around hardware, business, pre-orders, or dates either. On Thursday, our focus is squarely on showcasing some cool upcoming games coming to the broader PlayStation ecosystem. I'm going to pull in a question from Brandon H, who writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, we're all desperate waiting for PS5 news. Why have a state of play for PS4 at this point? I'm also going to pull in an additional question from Anakin JMT. And let me tell you, there are a lot of questions about this, but I'm only pulling in two, so we can round out this conversation. Anakin JMT also writes in and says, Sony's announced their next State of Play, but have clarified that it'll be about PS4 and PSVR games, with no major PS5 announcements. With rumors swirling of an Xbox showcase this month, where we'll finally get release date and price, is Sony dropping the ball by not having any big information scheduled, or are they playing it smart and by continuing to play chicken with Microsoft and making them go first? Tim, this news dropped this morning that we're getting this PlayStation State of Play and that it's not PS5 focused. What was your immediate reaction to this?
Begun the price wars have. Like, just there. Like, they're playing chicken. And to answer that question first, like, I feel like at this point, at least in August, PlayStation has nothing to lose while holding on and like praying that Xbox goes first with price. Because at some point, whoever goes second is being forced to make a decision. And if Sony has to go second, they're probably going to have to take a loss that they didn't expect or want to take, right? And that's something that you can't come back from. Like, that is just a fact that going forward, you can't raise the price of a console later. You can have a price drop. You're not going to raise the price of it, right? Yeah. We know that for their initial shipment of these things, they're going to sell out. So they're not too concerned at the end of the day of, wow, we're getting real close to November. Doesn't matter. It's going to sell out immediately. So they know that they can rest on that. But there is strategy of long term that they need to start building towards. In terms of why a new State of Play is happening right now and announced before all this, when there were so many rumors about there being a State of Play in August that was going to have all that information, I don't know. It has to do with business. 40 minutes, though, is a lot. Like, yeah. I imagine that there's a ton of third-party games that they want to talk about and they want to, you know, give somewhere, give some shine, especially so things don't get lost in the middle ground between the Last of Us 2 and Ghost of Tsushima and PS5. Like, we still have a couple months here, including titles like Avengers, which, pretty interesting that the Spider-Man news wasn't in this state of play.
Yeah, I think that's very interesting and kind of weird. And I wonder if the leak prompted this announcement being early, because the rumors for the Spider-Man thing did start up over the weekend, which makes me think that like they were like, hey, let's just go early, or let's just get this out of the way, because this is gonna keep continuing and distracting from what we actually want to talk about. But yeah, as far as the state of play, I think it's interesting, but it makes sense. One, for the reason that they could have two state of plays this month. Like, there's no rhyme or reason necessarily to state of play and when it gets announced. So I wouldn't be surprised if they do this state of play and even announce maybe even like a separate PlayStation presentation that's not even a state of play, that is them giving more info on the PS5. Like, that doesn't necessarily have to be a state of play because the June event wasn't a state of play. That said, I think this also makes sense for the reason of the PS4 still has so many units out there. Like, that is still one of the best-selling consoles of all time. Like, there's still work to be done there. When was the last state of play that we got that was PS4 focused? There are third-party deals that they probably have. They'll want to talk about Assassin's Creed. They'll probably want to talk about
WWE Battlegrounds.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, we still don't know what Call of Duty is.
Maybe we'll get some Rogue Company.
Well, I hope we don't get any Rogue Company.
This is a fucking, it's a mini partner direct like Nintendo did. It's like that.
But this is 40 minutes though.
Which is shocking. I mean, but to be fair, I imagine PlayStation has a lot more than Nintendo has going on when it comes to third party offerings, indie offerings, and updates on some other things. Like, are we going to see Bugsnax here? Probably. You know, is it going to be anything of major consequence? I don't know. But it's going to remind people that Bugsnax is a game, not just a song. And I think that that's super important. That needs a place. And I doubt that it's going to get a place in the next major PS5 reveal thing. So it's like, this is PlayStation doing something real smart. They have to do this. They need a place to talk about their games that they're trying to sell or to make their partners happy. 40 minutes is a lot. And the amount of transparency words being thrown in here must be a new record. Because,
well, yeah, you got to do it, though.
Nintendo, when they tweeted that mini partner direct thing a week and a half ago, whatever it was, their tweet had so many words that really just translated into do not get hyped, do not, just don't, and they were right. You know, this even more so, it's just like, let's be extremely clear, there is nothing that you should not like that you should expect to be here besides exactly this. And I hate that we're at a point that it needs to be this transparently clear. At this point it's just like, just fucking announce all the things in a blog post now. Just put it out. Well,
I compare it less to the Nintendo thing, because the Nintendo thing was the qualifier of this is our third party partner direct showcase, whatever they called it. Here I think they're saying all the things they should say. Right, because when you hear that PlayStation is doing a new PlayStation State of Play in August of 2020, our minds immediately jump to something. Like when I woke up and opened Twitter and saw this thing was happening, I was like, oh sweet, PS5 information is happening, cool. And then I read the tweet and I was like, oh okay, it's none of the things I would have expected. Like when they talk about, just to be super clear, there'll be no PlayStation Studios updates. I would have expected there to be that, you know, without this clarification. There'll be no updates around hardware, business, pre-orders, or dates. Those are things I probably would have expected if they didn't say that. And so I feel like they're saying the things that are necessary to say. I'm still very excited about this. Like, I'm expecting Bugsnax. I'm expecting the Pathless.
I'm excited too. I'm always excited about these type of things. I'm actually really excited to see our first traditional state of play in forever. Like, if I remember correctly, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but I think the last traditional state of play we got was the one that announced Resident Evil 3 back in December last year.
I think we've gotten one this year. I forget when.
We got a Last of Us State of Play. I don't remember. Yes. Someone in the chat.
I think it was the Last of
Us
State of Play and the Ghost of Tsushima State of Play that we got.
Those are different, though, because those are single games. But in terms of a general State of Play announcing stuff, this is going to be our first one in a very long time. Even if maybe there was one in March or something, but in a very long time, this is our first one. And if they're going to be this transparent about this stuff, I just don't like this, because if you're going to go this far, I feel go even further. Don't just say, oh, we're not talking. Don't tell us what you're not talking about. Tell us what you are talking about. Set the expectations. We're going to talk about Bugsnax. Talking about Bugsnax. Didn't mean to do that. But we're going to talk about Pathless. We're going to talk, like, just have a list of the games that are going to be featured. You know?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Straight up say that. And because my thing is, at some point, this is going to bite them in the ass. When they set expectations that it's like, it's just going to be these things. And then when they do have a big surprise announcement in it, they're going to be like, what the fuck? Like, people are going to be upset at their good announcement.
Yeah, I think the way that I like these things announced would be to include, like, expect details on X, mm-hmm. Y, and Z. Like, give me just two or three names of games so that I know where I should be at. Like, I know I get on the Xbox partner showcase thing that they did for, like, the third-party games that are coming to Xbox Series X back in May. I get on it a lot because it felt like the whole thing was gearing up for Assassin's Creed, and then Assassin's Creed was kind of a letdown in their showcase for it. But I think they did the right thing in setting it up as far as saying, like, by the way, you can expect details on Assassin's Creed and other games. And it's like, cool. I know where to keep my expectations then. And I think that helped for this a lot. But still, like, I expect this to be super exciting. Like, I'm expecting greatness out of this. Mm-hmm. Greatness awaits. Keeping on the PlayStation train still, story number three, Sony confirms you can't play PS5 games with a PS4 controller. This is Adam Bankhurst at IGN. Sony has revealed more details on how PlayStation 4 peripherals and accessories will work on PlayStation 5, including that DualShock 4 will not work with PS5 games. Revealed on PlayStation Blog, the DualShock 4 will still work with supported PS4 games on PS5, but Sony believes PS5 games should take advantage of the new capabilities and features we're bringing to the platform, including the features of DualSense wireless controller. As for other existing PS4 peripherals and accessories, Sony has confirmed the following. Specialty peripherals, such as officially licensed racing wheels, arcade sticks, and fight sticks, will work with PS5 games and supported PS4 games. The platinum and gold wireless headsets, as well as third-party headsets that connect via USB port or audio jack, will work on PS5. The Headset Companion app is not compatible with PS5. The DualShock 4 wireless controller and PlayStation officially licensed third-party gamepad controllers will work with supported PS4 games. And then both the PS Move motion controllers and the PlayStation VR aim controller will work with supported PSVR games on PS5. Sony also notes that, quote, not all PlayStation officially licensed or third-party peripherals / accessories may work on PS5 and recommends those who own such products to check with the manufacturer to confirm whether or not they will. Lastly, PS4's PlayStation camera will work with PS5 for those playing supported PSVR games, but it will require a PlayStation camera adapter that will be provided at no additional cost to PSVR users. More details on how to get this adapter will be announced at a later date. That last part is I think the weird part.
Right? I mean, like, it's only good news here.
I mean, it's good news, but it's kind of odd that, like, all right, so I just have access to a free adapter that I got to hit you guys up for.
Yeah.
All right.
It's weird, but hey, at least they're offering that. That's something that, like, traditionally you don't see from any of the big guys. Like, it's usually kind of a, hey, you want to do it? Hey, you need an adapter. Figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, well, this actually strikes me as reminiscent of when Xbox started taking away the Kinect out of their box. And, like, there was, like, a small period there where they were like, oh, yeah, you can get the Kinect if you... I forget the exact thing, but they had, like, a similar sort of, like, oh, yeah, get an adapter for your Kinect to work with your new box that doesn't support the Kinect. And it's interesting. But, I mean, I think all the things here make sense, right? The PS4 controller not working on the PS5 for new PS5 games. Like, that's not really a surprise, especially if we're expecting games to take advantage of the PS5 controller, the DualSense.
Look, man, you're making a lot of sense. But this is lame as fuck.
A lot of DualSense.
You're making a lot of DualSense. A lot of DualSense. And it doesn't dual shock me that they made these decisions. But it's bullshit at the end of the day. I seriously stand by this where it's like, how different are these games going to be controller-wise? And how can they not figure out some way to...
The triggers. The triggers, man. They're analog.
Dude, you know? I understand. All of that's true.
Arrow,
all
feel
that's
the,
true.
Feel the pull of the bow.
Make a better experience than on the DualSense, but have it playable. Have something that works on the DualShock. Like... Sure, that's fine for those games that really, really take advantage of that stuff. But there's the majority of games aren't. They're not even going to use those features at all. So it's like, why, when your controller looks so similar and can function so similarly, like, why not even just have it as an option? Like, this was such an issue for me personally from the PS3 to PS4 generation, where it's like, yes, there's the light bar, there's all that stuff. That's going to cause problems in some games. But when we're sitting here trying to play gang beasts or whatever, and we're just trying to get a shit ton of controllers, why not give us the option to use these controllers that but are Tim, obviously compatible with the systems?
But are they compatible, though? You know, it's DualSense. It's shaped differently. It's shaped differently. It's different. And, yeah. And listen, if it was the same controller as the PS4 controller, how are they going to sell PS5 controllers? You know,
easily, because people are going to want them anyways, and they're going to want the best ones. And
but now they'll need them. Now they'll need them. Now they can give us money because they need to, not because they want to.
Yeah, but it's like I feel like that line of thinking is so just it's obvious in a way that's like, yeah, okay, of course they want you to buy them. The people that are going to buy them are going to buy them regardless. I feel like having the options of having other your PS4 controllers when you need them to be used is not going to stop the people that were going to buy a second, third, or fourth DualSense, right? Mm-hmm. Most people, I would imagine that most people only have one console controller.
Yeah, right? I could probably.
Over time of their lifetime of use of the system, I imagine they have two.
Yeah.
And I don't think that they necessarily buy the second for multiplayer. It's because the first one broke and they want a second one.
Exactly, yes.
Right? You then get to the second group of people where it's like, oh, they have what, a brother, a sister, a girlfriend, a boyfriend, whatever. So it's like they have two. Mm-hmm. The people that are having like an insane amount of controllers, it's like that's a much smaller group, right? Then there's the collectors, there's all that. Those are niches that like we don't even need to get into. They're going to buy anything no matter what, right? I just look at it and I get that PlayStation's pushing next generation. I get that they are trying to separate themselves from PlayStation, from Xbox, who are like, hey, everything's compatible everywhere. And generations don't matter and all this stuff. The generation thing to me matters when it comes to the games. When it comes to the ease of use and the convenience of things, like it's such a just to say a slap in the face is like going too far, but it's just kind of a bummer. It's just I just look at this and I'm like, oh man, this just sucks.
I'm not as bummed out by this, and I think that's just because it's expected. And I think all of us kind of expected this to be the case. It very much is the when it comes down to the conversation of generations and PlayStation believing in generations and Microsoft kind of pushing back against the idea of making everything compatible with everything, right? I think on both sides that comes with pros and cons. I think on the PlayStation side that allows them to announce, you know, cool new forward-looking experiences that feel like they're taking advantage of the next-gen hardware and all this different stuff. But that does come with the disadvantage of, yes, we're making cuts that feel arbitrary. We're making cuts that feel like, okay, so what? Like, why is this the case that I can't play on my next console with my current controller? At the end of the day, what it comes down to is they want to sell more, right? They want to give you a reason to get the DualShock or DualSense. They want to force you into the next gen experience. Which, yeah, I'm with you in terms of that feels archaic because I think that is archaic. But
I mean, look at Nintendo, and granted, like they're in their own fucking ecosystem that has its own set of problems and stuff, and this isn't true for every game. But when it came to Smash Brothers Ultimate, like they allowed you to use your Joy-Cons, your Joy-Con grip, your Pro Controller, your GameCube controllers, options. Going to Mario Kart, when you played Mario Kart 8 on the Wii U, it was a certified pain in the ass. Because it's like, I just want to play 4-player co-op at this party that I'm at with my friends. And it's like, oh man, guess what? I have the Wii touchpad, the Wii U touchpad. I have my 4 GameCube controllers with my GameCube adapter that I use for Smash Wii U, right? Oh, I can't use those controllers with this game? Why? Why? You're telling me that I needed Wii U Pro controllers for when my friends come over to just play Mario Kart? This is so stupid. And then when you get to the Switch, totally fix that. You can use those controllers with Mario Kart because that's how things should be, right? And I feel like you're right. We should expect this. I did expect this. Mm-hmm. It still bums me out. And it's still little. There's even just details here, like it talking about lost the tab. The Platinum and Gold wireless headsets, as well as third-party headsets that are connected via USB or audio jack, will work on PS5. The headset companion app is not compatible. And it's like, that was the whole real selling point of the Platinum. Like, that companion app is awesome. And maybe this just is implying that there's going to be a new app
like a new
that they're
app,
working on with their 3D audio stuff that they've been pushing, whatever. And if that's the case, cool, fine. But that's an expensive peripheral. And you're taking away one of its key functions by not allowing that. I don't know. I just think that it's important for us to be frustrated with things, even if we expect them, because we're at a point where we look at Xbox and they're not doing the things that we expect from them in the same way. And they're still going to sell hardware, at least controllers. Are they going to sell systems? That's a bigger question.
We'll see. Tim, we've talked a lot about PlayStation this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily, and I want to talk to you about Xbox. But before I do, I want to tell you about our sponsor, of course. You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Hims. For Hims.com is all about men's wellness. Need help with hair loss, erectile dysfunction, or have a cold? That is a range of issues, by the way. Hair loss, erectile dysfunction, or do you have a cold? Are you interested in mental health or COVID-19 home tests? Hims is here for you. We all have issues that we're uncomfortable with, and sometimes going to a doctor can be a challenge. Just remember, your problems are normal and treatable. We've told the story many times before. Andy and Nick wanted to get their hair situation solved. They used Hims, and now they have the best hair in the company. 66% of men start to lose their hair by age 35. It's time to prevent more hair loss, and there's no better time to do that while you still have some. Thanks to science, hair loss can be optional. Hims connects you with FDA-approved products to help treat hair loss, and they have thousands of happy customers loving their results. If approved, products will be shipped directly to your door in discreet packaging. Today, Hims is giving you their best offer yet. If you're not happy with your results after 90 days, Hims will give you a full refund. And right now, our listeners can get their first visit absolutely free. Go to forhims.com/gamesdaily. That's forhims.com/gamesdaily. Full refund of price paid is available for the first 90 days supply. Refund requests must be made between 90 and 180 days after product shipment delivered. Prescription products require an online consultation with a medical professional who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information. Story number four. Microsoft confirms Halo Infinite multiplayer is going free to play. This is Tom Warren at The Verge. Halo Infinite's multiplayer mode will be free to play and support up to 120 frames per second, Microsoft has announced. The news comes after a leak from Smith's Toys Superstores, which briefly posted details about Halo Infinite multiplayer on a promotional page this week before quickly removing them once the internet discovered the references. Quote, "The legendary hero returns with the most expansive Master Chief campaign yet and a groundbreaking free-to-play multiplayer experience," reads the listing. "Enjoy up to 120 FPS in greatly reduced load times, creating seamless gameplay with Xbox Series X." Clobril, an Xbox leaker that accurately revealed previous Halo Infinite details, backed up the claims that the multiplayer mode will be free to play. The leaker also claims the arena mode will aim for 120 FPS, which Microsoft has also confirmed, and that multiplayer Halo Infinite will include a battle pass system and new customization options, which the company has not confirmed. Tim,
yes.
Halo fan number one of Kind of Funny, what is your take on this?
This is fantastic. This is honestly unbelievable in many ways. I think this is a sign of many things to come. In terms of transparency, this goes back to what we were talking about earlier with the Sony side of things. These rumors and leaks come out. Microsoft straight up comes out at what, 4:30 p.m. on a Friday, and is just like, yeah, "Hey, it's true. Let's just announce this. Let's get ahead of it. Like, this is good news. Let's let the people start talking about this and getting hype about it." 120 frames per second on a console, like, way earlier than I expected to start seeing those type of numbers thrown around, especially for a flagship like Halo. And I know that there's a lot of like jokes to be made about the how Halo looks or whatever, but when it allows things like this that are going to enhance the gameplay of what makes Halo multiplayer special, I think that that's totally worth the concessions. And on top of that, their commitment to this 120 frames per second, I think, is a sign to me, a more tech-minded person, compared to a lot of people at Kind of Funny, that I'm very, very, even more so excited about next gen now, where I wasn't expecting to start really seeing these numbers for 3 or 4 years. Granted, the TVs that the mainstream has right now are not able to do this. Even my amazing LG OLED I have isn't compatible with HDMI 2.1. And it wasn't until 2 years ago's model that they started having one port to allow you to do that. That's going to start becoming a bit more normalized over time, and especially if these consoles are touting this and pushing this as a feature that's necessary. It's going to push the TV creators to push as fast as possible for that to get that marketing space at Best Buy. But this is great news for gamers, especially for people, whether they play on a computer monitor or on a TV. Like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
The free to play. That's the biggest thing ever.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. And honestly, I'm shocked that they're going this route, but I think it is the best route to go. Mainly because I think this would have been such a great seller for Xbox Game Pass, Halo multiplayer. Like, I think so many of us are expecting that, like, oh yeah, that's going to be the killer app for Xbox Game Pass. So the fact that this is going to be a free-to-play experience, like, you still have the Halo campaign, which you can get through Xbox Game Pass, and that's, of course, going to sell so many people on that service. But still, man, multiplayer, that's a big thing. And honestly, like, I think this is going to be so good for Halo, especially like in comparison to Game Pass. Like, of course, that might not give Game Pass the bolstering that it needs, but for Halo, that is going to, one, increase the player base so dynamically that is going to turn that into a platform that is going to allow that thing to live for a while, right? And like, of course, it's Halo, so it's probably going to live anyway, but free to play takes it up a whole nother level. Yeah. And so, like, this is crazy news, but I'm all about it. Like, I like big moves like this.
Me too. And I think that this is definitely a sign to come. There's been so many where there's smoke, there's fire type rumors about Xbox Live going away as a paid service. And with this, it's like, if you're making Halo free to play.
Yeah.
Like, that is such a statement. Like, that is such a flagship on Halo. Is a flagship title for Xbox in so many different ways. It's a flagship for selling the Series X. It's a flagship for Game Pass. It's a flagship for what a Microsoft single player experience looks like with the campaign. And it most definitely is a flagship for multiplayer and for selling Xbox Live. Everything they're saying here is them being like, yo, Halo is something that is just the foundation that people just get. And then you grow from there and hope that, you know, people come in and want to stay in that ecosystem. I think this is extremely exciting. I think that it's going to pay off for them. The talk about a battle pass or whatever, that makes sense. That's a source of revenue that they can come in. And if they're offering good content there, then great. Vikel on in the chat says battle pass included with Game Pass would be a good idea to help push the Game Pass strategy. Exactly.
For sure.
I expect that. I can see that. Imagine that, right? Where it's like, oh, anyone can play. But if you get Game Pass, you also get all the battle pass stuff. Plus this library of games. And it's like that all Microsoft's trying to do is get people in. If they're getting them in different doors to the same thing, that's what matters most. And I think that's a great transition into our next story.
It is a perfect transition because our next story is still talking about Xbox. Story number 5, Microsoft Store is getting an overhaul on Xbox. This is from Xbox Wire. And Kev, I have a link to Xbox Wire where they have images of the new Xbox Store. Hello, Xbox fans. We're excited to share something we've been working on for a long time, the all-new Microsoft Store on Xbox. Far more than a typical app update, we've rebuilt the experience from the ground up to be faster, safer, and easier to use than ever before. We're obsessed with getting it right for customers, and we can't wait for you to see what we've been working on. The new Microsoft Store on Xbox is more than twice as fast as before. It launches in under 2 seconds, and the browse performance is greatly improved. It's faster than ever to load pages and find what you need, whether it's checking out a sale price or watching HD trailers. Our goal is to provide an inclusive and intuitive experience for everyone, and we're committed to making it easier than ever to find your next favorite game, app, movie, or TV show. This starts with a fully redesigned navigation system, allowing you to jump between shopping experiences in a snap or deep dive into something specific. We've also been working hard to make sure that the Microsoft Store on Xbox is the best place for families to shop for gaming and entertainment. To help parents ensure that their children are interacting with appropriate content, customers must be signed in to their Xbox account before browsing. Being signed in also helps you have a more personalized experience. You'll see content that is more relevant for you. And they go on and on. I kind of condensed it into, I think, the most important parts of it. But if you go to Xbox Wire, they have a bunch of details on that. And then, like, to add on to that, there have been reports that Microsoft is kind of changing the branding for Xbox Game Pass from Xbox Game Pass to just Game Pass.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting. And this comes from, of course, the Xbox Twitter at Xbox Game Pass. They tweeted recently, trying out a new look, and they have their changed icon with the Xbox logo, but then under it, just Game Pass. And so we're seeing a new style for Xbox here, right? With the store and with the branding.
It's interesting. And this is the thing that, like, gets very, very convoluted and complicated when it comes to the actual words, because it's like, wait, what? They're dropping the Xbox from the Xbox Game Pass? Like, why? I don't understand really why this makes sense for them. Like, that seems like, I mean, the Xbox branding seems like an important thing to kind of have in there, but them changing it, at least having the logo, still having the colors, just changing it to Game Pass. It's like, if they can own Game Pass as just an idea that people are like, they don't, if Xbox is so ballsy that they don't even give a fuck if you call it Xbox,
then that, I think that's the biggest thing, right? Like, Xbox Game Pass, the fact that it's on Xbox right now, it's on PC, and if everything goes the way Phil Spencer probably wants it to go, right, eventually on Switch, maybe on PlayStation in 2036 or whatever, like, If you can get that on those platforms, I feel like having it just called Game Pass, one, makes it more palpable, makes it easier to digest as a Nintendo user and as maybe Nintendo as a company, right? Like, that makes things a lot more easier and sleeker, especially if you just have that Xbox logo there that gets that point across that you are entering Xbox Game Pass, but it is ubiquitous. It is just Game Pass. I'm so
interested in where this ends up, because right now we know now xCloud's already brought into Game Pass, right?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if there's going to be an xCloud that you can get separate. I doubt there is. I imagine it's just going to be part of Game Pass. That's the only way you can get it. We have Xbox Live that we're thinking might just totally go away and be put into Game Pass. But then we still have Game Pass and Game Pass for PC. At what point are those the same thing?
I think becomes interesting. That becomes hard because I think because they have different libraries, right? Like, the PC library is different from the Xbox Game Pass library on Xbox.
But at what point do you just make it's one subscription where you have Game Pass, and that can mean a different thing, like, for PC library versus Xbox library, but it is still the same subscription.
I mean, is it not that? I thought it was that way now, right? With Ultimate? Or am I wrong?
No, you're right. But that's with Ultimate.
Gotcha.
But, like, I'm wondering if they are so ballsy that they're just going to get it that Game Pass is the only service they offer, and it gets you all of the different things. That means something different depending on what you're playing, but just Game Pass gets you this.
I think that would make more sense.
Crazy shit, man.
And I think as Xbox keeps building what Game Pass Ultimate is, and, like, as they keep giving you more incentive, I think that's when they're like, all right, cool. Like, let's drop it. Because right now, one of the big incentives for Xbox Game Pass Ultimate is that it does loop in both Game Pass PC and Game Pass console. And so once that thing gets powerful enough, I think you're able to just drop that and be like, oh yeah, Game Pass is one service now. Because there's so much here that sells you on it.
Game Pass Ultimate also gives you Xbox Live.
Yes.
To me, that's the real reason that Ultimate exists, is to combine Live with Game Pass. I think getting the PC or getting the Xbox, vice versa,
it's an added benefit.
It's an incentive.
Yeah.
So looking at that, I don't know, man. Let's see how this goes.
It's a matter of time for sure.
Because if Xbox Live goes free, I really feel like it would be silly to have Game Pass and Game Pass Ultimate if the only defining feature is you get the other system, PC or Xbox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but we'll see.
We'll see. Story number six, Beyond Good and Evil 2, or not 2, Beyond Good and Evil is getting a Netflix adaptation. This is Boris Kitt at Hollywood Reporter. Cult Ubisoft video game Beyond Good and Evil is getting the movie treatment at Netflix. Rob Letterman, who directed Detective Pikachu and Goosebumps, is on board to helm the hybrid live action / animated feature. Beyond takes place in the 25th century on a remote mining planet that is under alien attack. The military rulers, and this is funny to me because as I'm reading this, I realize that I have no idea what Beyond Good and Evil is. I have no idea what the plot is.
You never played the original?
No, I never played the original. No.
I think that you would like it, Bless. Honestly, seems like a Bless world.
I think I would too. Whenever I see it, I'm like, ooh, I kind of want to check that out. But yeah, to continue again, Beyond takes place in the 25th century on a remote mining planet that is under alien attack, which also is the same plot to Red Faction. I just want to put that out there. The military rulers that promised to defend the population may be in league with the invaders. In this environment, a young photojournalist named Jade is recruited to be part of an underground resistance movement. That's also the plot of Red Faction. Netflix's adaptation is in early development, and a search for writers to adapt the game is underway. Cool. This is fun.
Totally cool.
Makes sense, I think.
It's funny, like, looking at Beyond Good and Evil, it's like, is 2 ever actually going to come out? Like, what's that going to look like? This, I think, is a bit more evidence that it might happen because they're trying to raise some brand awareness. They're also doing a Splinter Cell thing. So maybe not.
Yeah.
Ubisoft's always kind of been pushing into multi-medium situations, whether it's the Rabbids TV show or the Assassin's Creed movie or the Prince of Persia movie. Like, they've done this forever. Like, it's actually, looking back at their library of games, I feel like more of them have some type of other media that they've crossed over to. Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't be surprised at some point if we see a Watch Dogs movie, you know?
Oh, yeah. I think that's inevitable. And honestly, I think that'd be awesome. I would watch the mess out of a Watch Dogs movie.
That could be cool.
But yeah, Ubisoft loves doing this. This makes sense. I am curious on what happens if this does well. Like, I'm curious if this actually gives Beyond Good and Evil, like, a boost. Because to the point of the opening sentence of the article, right? They call it a cult Ubisoft video game, Beyond Good and Evil. Like, Beyond Good and Evil doesn't have the biggest fan base. And maybe I'm speaking out of turn. Maybe it does, and I just don't realize. But, like, it does have a strong fan base. Like, yes. The fan base that likes Beyond Good and Evil really likes Beyond Good and Evil. But it's not huge. And so if a Netflix adaptation can do something to make that audience bigger, especially gearing up towards Beyond Good and Evil 2, then cool. Sounds cool. Last story of the day, story number 7, and this is one for me that included. Yeah. Could we be getting No More Heroes on Switch? This is Sal Romano at Gamatsu. The Taiwan Digital Game Rating Committee has rated the original No More Heroes for Switch. No More Heroes first launched for Wii in December 2007. An enhanced version of the game, No More Heroes Heroes Paradise, was released for PS3 and Xbox 360 in April 2010. Back in July 2019, Dengeki PlayStation asked No More Heroes series director Goichi Suda51 Suda if there are any plans to make previous entries in this series available on PS4, to which he responded, quote, "Yes, we're currently in talks with the IP holder, Marvelous, to make that happen. It's in positive consideration, so I hope we'll be able to make a good announcement," end quote. I'm all about this. Put No More Heroes on Switch and put it on every platform you can, because No More Heroes is incredible. I am really excited for this to happen.
No More Heroes, to me, I want this to happen. I think that them putting it on more platforms, more modern platforms, is going to really give No More Heroes 3 a chance at success that I don't think it has otherwise, to be completely frank.
I feel that.
But to me, No More Heroes is a game that I love and a game that I hold in a very special place, but more so a game that I hold in a very special time. I don't know that I could stand by No More Heroes being incredible, but I can say that in 2007, when I first played it, when I was a senior in high school, and it gave me a game on the Wii that I got to use the motion controls in a way that felt fun and effective to me in a real game, where they said things like fuck and you saved by like taking a shit on the toilet. I was like, yeah, man. Oh, there's but the plot of it is fucking awesome. The world of it, the Taraz touchdown and all that stuff, the lightsabers, all that, cool as fuck.
Super cool.
Is the game incredible?
Listen, it does what it needs to do to be fun and good. And yes, there are certain elements of it that I will say probably don't age well. Like the main plot is basically thrusted forward by the main character wanting to bang a girl. Like, that is like the whole plot. Is he wants to be the best assassin so that he can have sex. And it's like, all right, that's kind of childish. That's I don't know if that's it, Chief, but I think the game also kind of leans into its own ridiculousness and comedy in a way that kind of makes it work. It being ported on current gen systems, I think, will give more context to, like, all right, how well did this stuff work back in the day? That said, like, I think the gameplay of it's still fun. Or maybe it could still be fun. I haven't played it since 2011 or something like that. But I'm excited to see this game possibly come out to current gen systems. But that, Tim Geddes, is probably so far away. If I want to know what's coming out to mom and grop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Out today. Apparently there's nothing. I like scour the internet for games that were coming out today, and I found nothing. And so nothing is out today, but we do have new dates. Eternal Hope is coming out on August 13th, 2020 for Windows PC. Wargroove Double Trouble free DLC will be hitting the digital PlayStation Store tomorrow on Tuesday, 4th August. Why is it? I guess this is written in Europe. On Tuesday, 4th August. And it also comes with crossplay for PS4. And then Riot Games has revealed Act 2 of Valorant, and that'll begin on August 4th, 2020, and will bring with it a new battle pass, a new agent, a new glitch pop skin line, and a free-for-all deathmatch mode. Usually this is where I transition into reader mail, but we've gotten our reader mail in the actual, like, proper show, and so we have no reader mail segment, but we do have a squad up. Vincent writes in with a squad up on PS4 and says, I foolishly didn't resubscribe to PS Plus, but I'm getting my little plus sign back because of that Fall Guys hype and also the Avengers beta slash full game. We'll love to have some wacky fun and grind out that sweet loot with some best friends. I live on the West Coast and work nights, but have off Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, so we'll be on most of those days. You can add Vincent on PS4 with the username PDXVman. That is PDXVman on PS4. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong, where you write in, let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong. And let's see here.
What a great episode, Bless. This was a fun one.
This is a really fun one.
Good news, good conversation. Greg Miller calling. What more could you ask for?
I am seeing a lot of opinions and not you're wrong.
There's an opinion, but I do want to bring this one to attention here because I wanted to bring it up earlier and I forgot. Charles Jacobs says, at the E3 reveal last year, they said PlayStation would have exclusive content, so it shouldn't be a surprise that he's exclusive. We all know that they said that, but what exclusive content should mean in 2020 and 2021, I think, is a very different thing than it should have meant before. Exclusive content being some Warzone missions or something like that, totally fine. That's, you're just getting more content that's exclusive to PlayStation, absolutely okay. An exclusive character in a game that is so hero based, where at least for now there's so few heroes that, and even when this is all said and done, I don't imagine there's going to be more than 20. Like Spider-Man, come on, nah.
So the only you're wrong here that isn't necessarily you're wrong, but gives more context. I'll read from Charles Jacobson, who writes in and says, Game Pass for PC is still labeled in beta. They clarified it'll be changed in some way, but at the moment it's $4.99. And so we didn't really get anything wrong this episode, according to you're wrong. We got a clean episode, Tim. Flawless victory. Good for us. You love to see it. This week's hosts are, tomorrow, it's me and Imran. Wednesday, it's Greg and Gary Witta. Thursday, it's Greg and me, and then Friday, it's me and Greg, and of course, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, so stick around for that. Otherwise, till next time, Game Daily.